Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning. My guest today is Peter Buckoak, who is an Alexander Technique teacher in London. He, in addition to a private practice, he oversees the Alexander Technique department at the Royal College of Music, where the technique is embedded in the Bachelor of Music program. He also plays double bass and performs in various groups in London. And along with Judith Kleinman, he's the author of a book called The Alexander Technique for Musicians. And we're going to talk today about his work with students at the Royal College of Music in particular, and more generally about why the Alexander Technique is so helpful for musicians. Peter, welcome to the show.
Oh, hello, Robert. It's very good to be here.
It's good to talk to you again. I should have added, in his spare time, Peter looks after several colonies of bees. For some reason, I found that an intriguing note to add. Peter, could you begin by giving our listeners a very brief definition or description of the Alexander Technique?
Yeah, sure. I would say the Alexander Technique helps you to become more healthy and to develop your skills, your existing skills, and when you're learning new skills. It makes it easy to change the way you do things. And so it's a way of understanding, developing the skills you're interested in.
Yes, and it seems as though, at least in my experience, and I think quite a few other Alexander teachers' experiences, the one group of people who seem particularly drawn to the Alexander Technique are musicians. And I have some idea why that might be, but I'd like to hear your take on it. Really, what is so special about musicians or the Alexander Technique that connection is made so frequently?
Yeah, well, I can understand this from personal experience, because I decided I wanted to be a musician. And then I got into trouble when I started practicing a lot, because I'd gone to music college. And it was looking pretty grim for me, because I was getting into more and more pain. And then someone, after I tried various different things, like going to the doctors, taking painkillers, getting very fit, drinking a lot of alcohol, doing meditation, going to the chiropractor, all that sort of thing, someone said, what about the Alexander Technique? And so I tried it, and it made it possible for me to be comfortable and play the double bass, which meant I could study the double bass. So one thing it does for you, it can help you understand how you're using your body in such a way that you get into pain. So musicians need to be comfortable so that they can actually do the hours of practice that are necessary. So Alexander can certainly help with that. But then when you think about what a musician has to do, you have to have absolutely brilliant mind-body coordination, because the subtlety of movements you have to make as a musician to be able to not just play the notes, but play them in a way that people will want to pay money to come and hear, that sort of coordination has to be exquisitely good. Mm-hmm. And certainly Alexander helps with coordination. Then another thing that musicians have to deal with is the pressure that they're put under by being on the concert platform or behind microphones. And so stage fright or performance anxiety can get in the way of what would otherwise be good playing. And so Alexander is an excellent way of approaching organizing your thinking and your behavior so that you can get past that huge obstacle. And if there was one thing, if I could only choose one thing that we could use the technique to help musicians with at the college, it would be performance anxiety, because it really damages careers. It stops people from playing sometimes, and it stops people from progressing in the profession as much as they might. Then, if you want another idea how Alexander can help, I would say you are continuously trying to develop technique. So either vocal or instrumental technique, and you're constantly being given advice by your professor. Mm-hmm. Now the professor, more likely than not, is not an Alexander teacher. And it could be that they tell you the results you should get. They might demonstrate to you. They might ask you to play and get a certain result. And they might not be in a position to tell you exactly how to do it, or they might not be able to tell you in a way that you understand. And that's where Alexander becomes a wonderful adjunct to your normal lessons, so your instrumental or vocal lessons, because when the Alexander teacher starts helping you with your technique, the way they talk and the fact they put hands on and help you experience something that might be more efficient, it often throws light on the advice you've been given by the professor, which then falls into place and makes total sense, and you can achieve maybe by the next lesson, or certainly within the next week or two.
Right. I think there's a misunderstanding about what one should expect from a really good music teacher. They can, as you said, they can tell you what they want. They have a really good ear for what you're doing. They can give you good feedback about that, but they are mm-hmm. not themselves experts in helping people improve their coordination. That's a separate field. You might be lucky and you might find a teacher who is also trained as an Alexander teacher, but that's going to be pretty unusual. So if there's a coordination issue or a quality of how you use your body to play mm-hmm. the instrument issue, it's very likely that an Alexander teacher is the person to go to help you with that, even if that person doesn't know anything about music.
Absolutely. And so I can say from personal experience again that I had some of my most useful double bass insights when I was having Alexander lessons from people who weren't musicians. Yeah. It tends to be musician Alexander teachers that are employed by conservatories, because we can talk the talk. So there's no reason why a non shouldn't give lessons to a musician. If they're a good Alexander teacher, they'll be very helpful. But when it comes to making musical connections, when you're talking about the connection between the result you're getting, the musical result, and the way you're using your body, the musician can put it into words that make you sound more credible. And that means that when the students are just starting to have their first Alexander lessons, then saying the words that help them make a connection to the subtlety of result that they're looking for just reassures the student that this person might have something to teach me.
Right, and that takes me to the second basic question I have for you, which is, why do you think that it's particularly important for the Alexander technique be introduced in school for students? Why early on, and why not just later in their careers?
Well, you need to practice for thousands of hours to become an expert. And if you become enthusiastic about being a musician, you might put a lot of hours in the practice room. And the sooner you become aware of balance, freedom, and good use, the better, because you're less likely to be developing bad habits that you'll later have to unravel. It's very interesting in Britain to see the students who are coming from music specialist schools, where they all have Alexander teachers, they all have Alexander lessons. And then the students who come maybe from abroad, they have no experience of Alexander, and they're in a tough situation because they've developed habits when they're playing that can be damaging, that can be slowing them down. But interestingly, those students can be very talented, but maybe experiencing pain or just not developing as fast as everybody would like them to. So rather than let the bad habits develop and then sort them out later, the sooner you're understanding about use in the way that Alexander teachers do, the better. And Alexander himself, apparently, he said that the reason he taught adults was so it was more likely that his ideas would be taught to young people, to school children. And in fact, he opened a school. So he opened a school in his suite of rooms in London, in Victoria. So he actually opened a school, and that school had some extraordinary results. So there's been interesting reports and books written on the work that he did with young people. So Alexander was obviously interested in getting his technique into the education system, and he thought earlier the better. And I, from what I've seen, he was right.
Right, and you are involved. Are you involved in any way in this Educare school in London?
I'm not, but Judith, my wife, is. So Judith Kleinman has been working with Sue Mary, who's actually started the Alexander program years and years ago at Educare. And they run some great courses, working with Alexander teachers who want to gain from their experience of working with teenagers. And in fact, Sue Mary works even younger than teenage, so she's working with very young ones.
Yes.
And
And
interestingly, they're running courses and they've written books. So there's Sue Mary's written a book of how to work with young people in the sort of up to 11 year olds, and then Judith has written another one for secondary education, which is teenagers. So there's a lot of research and development in that area.
Right. Now, could you say a little bit about your work at the Royal Center of Music?
Royal College of
Royal
Music, sorry.
College of Music, sorry. Yeah.
Yes, well, we've had Alexander there for decades, since the 1950s. So Dr. Wilfred Barlow ran an experiment in the singing department. He and his wife went in and gave Alexander lessons intensively, I think 2 or 3 times a week for a term. And then the singing professors were asked to say if they'd noticed the difference. And they did notice the difference. They noticed that all the students became better students. And what they meant by that was the ones who had always been very anxious to please their teachers found they could actually be themselves with impunity. So they could actually develop more character. And the students all became easier at taking, they found it easier to take stage direction when they were singing opera scenes on stage and they were told to do certain movements. They found that was possible much more they became more biddable in that direction, so they could do what the director wanted them to do. They all had a change in vocal quality, and the singing professors were very impressed at how quickly they developed during this term where they were having the intensive Alexander. And their final conclusion was that the Alexander technique should become the basis of the training of all musicians. So that's a pretty dramatic statement to come up with, and the college did listen. They couldn't completely change all the courses they were running, but they decided at that point to find the money for three Alexander teachers to be working at the college. So the technique was available for students in as they thought was most necessary. So it became a sort of remedial exercise. So if someone needed help, they would be sent off for Alexander lessons. But more recently, I was invited to go to the Royal College of Music in 1989 to teach the double bass. And this was just after I'd finished my Alexander training. And I decided to run a little campaign to try and get the Alexander technique embedded into the degree, the undergraduate degree. So I went and spoke to all the faculty meetings. And interestingly, all the professors were saying, well, I've had Alexander lessons, so they were really useful. And so if we've got the money, yes, let's go for it. And so I went all around the faculties, and the wind professors said that it was a really good idea, and that if there was any money, the wind players should be targeted because it was obviously so useful for them. And so I thought that was very interesting that they thought that wind players were the most useful direction to spend the money. But then I got the same response from the string department. The string professors actually said the same thing, the keyboard department, the same. And fortunately for me, the same member of staff was chairing all the different faculty meetings. So after we'd had six faculty meetings, he called me in and said, I'm very impressed. Everybody seems to think that Alexander is worth including at college. So, but to cut a long story short, that's when they decided to start an introductory course for all students doing an undergraduate degree. So we're talking 1991, that's when it started. The undergraduate degree included an element of Alexander. And since then, we've, so that's, was it, 27 years, we've developed more and more courses. So now we have a different course for each year of the undergraduate school, and then postgraduates have their own course as well. So at the Royal College of Music, it's available to everybody, and they can choose it as a fairly large element of their degree. So it can be 30% of their music degree.
You know, I when I hear that description of yours, I gotta say I'm a bit envious because the situation in America, with a few exceptions, is really quite different. Probably partly because the Alexander technique is generally not as well known here as it is in England. And I wonder, in terms of sort of from a practical point of view, in terms of what students are expected to do in a music college, it seems to me that what I see here a lot is the way what students are told is they need to practice a lot as part of their training, many, many hours a day. And from what I can see of the results of that, is it is quite counterproductive if a student has some poor habits of self-use. They're just going to dig them in deeper with all that practice, not to mention wearing themselves out. Whereas I suspect that in at the Royal College of Music, there's a generally a different approach to practice time.
Absolutely. This is something that it took a few years for there to be a new aura around the way to use the practice room.
Mm-hmm.
But now, throughout the student body, we find people who are taking care of themselves. And so now, when you walk past the practice room, someone will maybe be looking at a video that they've taken of their practice and analyzing what's going on by looking at what they're doing and making a connection with what it sounds like. They might be actually playing their instrument, or they might be lying on the floor in semi-supine position, head on a book, the legs folded up, and rebooting their system. So they've taken advice, and it's spread. And the students talk to each other about the advice the Alexander department is giving them. Mm-hmm. And so you get students who break their practice into playing chunks and semi-supine chunks and analysis of recordings as well. Yeah. So they're not just playing their instrument all the time, but they're looking at the way they're doing it, they're listening to the results, and then making a decision about how they're going to carry on. And we've encouraged this. At first we were just suggesting it, but then we made it one of the assignments. So the second years have to make 7 practice videos. Mm-hmm. And the first video is taken by the teacher. We walk around them while they're playing and take a video recording, and then they have to look at it. And in the second video, they have to say what they saw in the first video and then say how they're going to work on making the change. And they can carry on working on that or come up with fresh ideas that they're going to experiment with. And they have to show us that they're using the phone in their pocket as a video camera and making an analysis by using the ideas that they've learned in the Alexander lessons. And this is going on now as it's fairly normal, and
yeah.
that's really good news. When they write self-observational diaries, sometimes we get comments like, I was playing with a string quartet, we were playing a concert the other day, and before the concert and during the interval, we all lay down together on the floor in semi-supine and talked through how we were going to approach the concert. And that makes me feel very positive.
I can well imagine. I don't believe that there's anything like that in the U.S. There are some schools, obviously, where Alexander Technique is somewhat embedded, the Juilliard School, for example. But I don't think it's quite as intense and all-pervasive as what you've described.
It's just a matter of time. We've just got to get the teachers talking about it, and then the students, once the students find this really does work, then they talk to each other. We've got to the point now where there have been a lot of musicians who've gone through the Royal College of Music have decided to add to their skill by becoming Alexander teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And there are, I believe there are 5 at the moment training in one Alexander school.
Mm.
The one that Judith Kleinman, my wife, she's assistant head of training there.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a very nice link between the training school and the college.
Oh, that's
the
wonderful.
Students from the college, the students at the college go in and visit during the more advanced courses, and the final term students at the training school come in and assist the Alexander teachers at the Royal College of Music. So it's a symbiotic relationship which is working very well for us.
Well, that's wonderful. Peter, is there anything else you want to add before we come to an end?
Oh, yes. I'd rather like to tell you about another one of the assignments that we give the students. The postgraduate students I think, are doing the most interesting assignment, which is making a film. What we require is they read treatises about how to play their instrument or how to sing if they're a singer, and they choose a treatise and they look at the information on how to do it in the treatise and see if it stacks up with Alexander's ideas. And whether it does or doesn't, then they talk about it on the film, and they present themselves talking to camera. Mm-hmm. They maybe sing or play on camera, demonstrating the ideas that are suggested in the treatise, and talk about how Alexander might augment the idea, or if there's a contradiction, which there rarely is because they tend to choose ones that agree or stack up very nicely with Alexander, then they show their Alexander knowledge at the same time as talking about the advice, which is never Alexander advice, but may be compatible with it. And some of them have made the most wonderful videos, and we've started putting them up on our website.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
AlexanderNow.org. So we're putting, in fact, in the next few days, there should be four going up, if I can get myself organized there.
Right. Well, I think this is a good place to end our conversation. My guest today has been Peter Buckoak, who is an Alexander teacher in London, England, and who oversees the Alexander Technique Department at the Royal College of Music. He's also the co-author with Judith Kleinman of a book, The Alexander Technique for Musicians. I'll be putting a link to his website by the interview, as well as a link to a website that will give you more general information about the Alexander Technique and enable you to find a teacher anywhere in the world. Peter, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you, Robert. Maybe I could just say one more thing, which is, if anybody's in London, if an Alexander teacher or someone very interested in Alexander is in London and would like to come and visit the Royal College of Music, then they should get in touch with me through the website and we can arrange a visit. A lot of Alexander teachers come from abroad, and they come and sit in on the classes to see how we do it.
Okay.